in every year.
Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back. For Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King, when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet. Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear just to bring him back to the field.
I've always advocated for a drug league where you could actually take whatever drugs you felt would help you to play better.
Isn't there a danger here, guys, that, you know, they could be the Blues playing quite well high and then they're defending their red zone and suddenly James Roberts is ordering a hot dog and Deliveroo?
Hello and welcome to this very special State of Origin edition of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast that believes Wally Lewis's shimmy would have been much better during one of his violent epileptic seizures. And today I'm joined by the other two forgotten members of Milli Vanilli. Of course, I refer to Chip Jones and Xander Risotto. How are we, gents?
Yeah, good, mate.
Exhausted.
Exhausted. Are you exhausted still from partying about Origin 1?
Mate, I've been drinking since about 10:30 this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not 10:30, just to be clear, not 10:30 a.m. The day after Origin 1 victory, just this morning.
No, that's this morning. Yeah, I didn't pull a proper all-nighter, because if I'd have been drinking since 10:30 of Origin morning, I'd be pretty fucking drunk. I probably wouldn't be available
well,
for the podcast.
We certainly appreciate your efforts to haul yourself off.
Wasn't easy.
I can imagine. Now, Origin 1, obviously, we should probably tell the listeners that we're recording this on a Sunday. Origin 1 has already happened. We're obviously thoroughly elated, gents. We'll start with you, Xander. How did you see the game?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a reversal of some of the origins we've seen in previous years, where I thought Queensland bashed the crap out of us up front for the most part. And
yeah, that was annoying, wasn't it?
It was, and particularly Inglis, while the Blues just tended to make better of the creative side of things. You know, I mean, the breaks up through the middle in particular were just incredible.
We made some line breaks. Now, we're all Roosters fans. We're pretty out and proud about that. But is it annoying for anyone that Tedesco seems to play shitloads better at Origins?
No.
Not annoying. It just shows us we really need to buy Damien Cook.
Yeah, maybe if we just bought. Maybe if we bought the Origin.
That's the wet
team.
Dream. Yeah, that's right.
That's great thinking. I think Politis could afford it, frankly.
Because that was what enabled him, frankly. I mean, he ran off Cook, I think, five or six times, and pretty well every time made a break.
And I think the Roosters have got to get over trying to buy players to win.
No,
I think you've actually just got to win.
I don't know, mate. Like, that's sort of in our heritage.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't breed success in the way that you'd think it might. It kind of doesn't.
Mate,
so
we've won a few comps.
We've won a few, but you know, not as many as we could have won. We're still not playing as well as we could.
I'm more for the holistic approach, but I do think that buying good players is a good strategy. Overall.
I think it certainly helps,
but it won't win you every time.
We were due to record this podcast on the eve of State of Origin 1, but unfortunately, driving home from work, my car exploded.
Fucking excuses.
Yeah, which disappointed Xander and Chip. Of course, I called them asking for help.
Mate. Shattered.
I said, my engine's on fire. I've been badly hurt. And they said, fuck you for not turning
up. No, mate. I was incredibly busy that evening. I had
you had a podcast to do, didn't
right.
you?
I think what was really bad was when I sent you a text saying, nice night for it, because it was raining so heavily. I couldn't be bothered to check that I'd sent it correctly, and it just said, nice for it.
Yeah, I know. I remember thinking that was a rather cryptic response to my SOS. But thankfully, it was raining cats and dogs, and that put out the fire. So all's well that ends well, although I have no car at the moment. But we're here anyway. We have a commitment to the podcast, so we have managed to clamber together.
The rest of us have a strong commitment.
I'm sorry. I'll try hard. Next time I should have got out and pushed. But look, we'll probably isolate some players of interest. Now, Xander, you've already mentioned that Teddy and Cook had great games. Chip, who did you see with the big, strong performers for the Blues in Origin 1?
Oh, look, Damien Cook's still my favourite player. He has been for a few weeks.
You had big raps on him going into the game. It's all been recorded, so we can't call you a fucking liar.
Yeah, which is always helpful, because that usually doesn't end well.
It's a shame.
But great game. I really liked the way that Maloney played. I was very impressed with Cleary taking that English shot and not sneezing. He just took it, got up, played it, and then went and hung out with his dad after the game and said, oh, it's a real pleasure to be here. So I thought, well,
He went and hung out with his older clone, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, the clone.
I think there needs to be more mixture in that
gene. Is it A clone,
pool.
B clone? How do we...
I think, well...
Is Cleary's the old Cleary is his wife, his sister. Old Cleary.
I think his wife is Ivan. Because isn't that how you get an exact replica? You need to actually procreate with your exact double.
But
you
know, so with Origin, I thought another thing that was really good was the way that Napa played. He had a pretty good game. A lot of Queenslanders are rating him now. Which
well,
is interesting.
Can I just say this, and you can be, I have to be really candid with me. Are you saying that Narva had a good game because he's a Rooster? Or do you really believe
I that? Actually see him play like that for the Roosters every week. He's brutal. Mm. He's like, he is a weapon in the true sense of the word.
Particularly
in that
his head,
game. He's amazing. So, you know, sometimes he gets it wrong and it doesn't look good, but he really does launch himself at people. He doesn't take a break in the last 5 metres.
No, he does. He follows through with those hits, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, so...
I'd imagine in the era of the shoulder charge, Dylan Napa would have just been thriving.
It's a good thing the shoulder charge is not in play.
Been
because
some
if it was, he would have killed people.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
I've got to swear.
He's a redhead. Like, there's something suspicious about that.
Mm. What were you going to say, Xander?
People say the shoulder charge is dead, but I swear Inglis put on a couple that would qualify close to the
in Origin,
charge. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, what we should probably isolate is who was good for Queensland, and I'll just say I thought it was Greg Inglis, and I thought Greg was quite good.
Greg was good. And also their new captain. He really stood up, and he said,
Inglis,
you know what,
yeah.
I'll try and do this.
I tell you what, a mark of him as a player is, you know, everyone was sort of doubting Greg Inglis's ability to be a good captain, given he's not a big talker. But talk about leading with your actions. I think he annihilated 5 players at one point.
But they all took it well. Like, he smashed Trbojevic. I mean, he was 6 metres offside. But
he was. I thought Tom Trbojevic was tough. He picked up his spleen,
they
he
all
swallowed
took it well.
And he continued on. That was nice of him.
None of them were rattled.
You know what the raging elephant in the room is?
What's that, mate?
Tedesco. I mean, come on.
Well, we alluded to it earlier, and I got to say, I think it's a bit of a bugbear because I am so passionate about my team, that is the Sydney Roosters, and... he doesn't play particularly well for them this year. I don't think
I've
that's
got
a
to
fair
put up an
observation.
Asterisk. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's right. And the reason is, if I can, I'll succinctly as I can, is go forward from the play the ball, and I mean down to the finest detail of the ball is rolling on the grass. What's the next trajectory the ball takes? If it's a pass,
everything's physics with you
from the ground, right? You're moving forward. If you're not moving forward from the ruck. And the defence is meeting you, you know, kind of at an equilibrium. Or
so you're saying the Roosters don't get enough go forward?
I'm saying that I'd like to see Jake Friend work on passing from the grass.
You raise a very good point.
That's what I want to see.
And
that's
a fair
criticism. Passing in general, I think.
I don't know if we can lay this all at the boots of Jake Friend, though, because the combination between Tedesco and Cooper Cronk is also... left a lot to be desired, but we won't drift into club land too
much.
Well,
I see them winning the comp now. Honestly,
okay.
The Roosters.
I won't drift there.
We'll see. We'll see.
Just but a bold
You know when we opened the show and you said, well, it's all date stamped, so we can't. Well, put me down for a date stamp.
Okay.
Okay.
The Roosters
they'll be playing very, very well come finals.
Okay.
Come finals, they'll be hitting straps.
Can I just say, you've revised your prediction quite considerably from winning the comp to playing well during the finals. Are you saying they're going to win the comp?
And play well.
Should have got it checked. I knew the symptoms and I didn't bother seeing anyone because I just hoped it would go away. This is Alan. About 3 months ago, he started experiencing acute stomach pains and bloating. I just kept saying to myself, I'm just not eating right. If I just start being more healthy, it'll go away. But it never did. Alan ignored the symptoms, even though deep down he knew something was wrong. I guess if I could go back in time, I'd just try to tell myself, go get yourself checked. Stop putting it off. You know something's wrong. You see, Alan is a Parramatta Eels fan. And at the start of the season, he knew it was time to tear up his membership. But he simply couldn't admit it to himself. Mitchell Moses in the halves, Hayne in the centres. I was in denial, I suppose. Alan hung in with the Eels in 2018 for far too long. And now, tragically, it's too late to seek a refund. Won't give me my cash back on my season. I tried to tell him, but Gutho wasn't there for most of the season. They wouldn't listen. So the next time your club is going shithouse, don't leave it too late. Cut your losses and get a refund on your season ticket. And remember, every game with Brad Takarangi in it is doing you damage.
Brought to you by the Be a Fucking Realist about your NRL club, Sydney.
I think our first topic of discussion, gentlemen, regarding Origin, should be Billy Slater. Now, there was no Billy Slater in the lead-up to the game. He pulled out very late, which meant there was a bit of a reshuffle. Milford came into the team, and Michael Morgan fielded the number one jersey. Is there a chance that Billy Slater was faking his injury, considering he's no longer got his
big play
buddies there? He hasn't got Thurston, he hasn't got Cameron Smith, he hasn't got Cooper Cronk. Is Billy Slater just scared?
Is he having a whinge?
He could be just having a giant whinge. I don't know if that's too controversial to say. Am I going...
No, fuck him.
Okay, I say that's great. So you agree with me then?
If you were a true Queens, he wouldn't have been saying that in the last 5 years.
No, there's I think he would have played.
He would have played if his fucking leg was missing.
Mm. To be fair, you probably only needed one leg to beat that Blues team.
Well, there you go.
Potentially, that could be the leg that he uses to milk penalties, though, and that would have hurt his game quite considerably.
Yep.
So I don't know if that was a factor or not.
But Billy aside, he's going to be back for the next game.
So he says.
So,
but he might get scared again.
Is it
he might
Billy
start
aside?
Urinating down his own
should
leg.
Should we do a hashtag, Billy aside?
We can put as many hashtags out there as you want, mate. What do we Instagram
What's a good
it?
One? What could we come up with?
Billy's a cunt.
Billy's a cunt.
That it's got a ring
just
to
spitballing.
It's I reckon that'd get traction.
Mm.
Billy Slater pulls out, and yet absolutely no mention of Darius Boyd as a replacement.
Well, that's because there's Caleb Bogger.
Well, true, but it wasn't the big thing. Oh, we don't know if we can fit Darius into the team, and he's really close. But and then when Billy goes down injured, Darius, no talk of him at all.
Yeah, I think that's sending a message.
It is a bit of a fuck you, isn't it? I mean, is that the way that the Maroons, we've been hearing about pick and stick and we're loyal and you Blues aren't loyal, and yet
it's easy to be loyal when you're winning.
That's exactly right.
I think that's a lesson from the last, I think, 11 years. Queensland used to, I'm old enough to remember this, and so are all of you.
Thanks, mate.
just a reminder there. But they used to chop and change a shitload when they were losing.
They did. And they used to fluctuate, didn't they, between Paul Green and Daniel Waggon. Fuck,
good.
I miss those days.
They're very good at taking the piss. And this is why I think the Blues are going to win. And I think they might win a series or two, because Brad Fittler, if you've seen some of the post-match, and I know you haven't because I asked you and you haven't looked at it yet, but basically what happens is Brad Fittler's in a field somewhere. Okay. Green pasture.
So this is a
doing
video
a
you've
cross
seen online.
Live to with some of the guys interviewing him about the game.
Yep.
And he's leaning on a fence with llamas behind him.
Of course he is.
Right. And he looks very zen. He's won. But he's not kind of bragging or anything like that.
Changing into
what
his
he's
yoga
kind
tights.
Of doing is like taking the piss out of Queensland. And it's masterful.
So
and I really like it. I think he's actually... Every time they've said, oh, well, how was your preparation being that you haven't won so much and you've been struggling? He said, well, compared to Queensland's preparation, it's been really smooth because Queensland have lost Thurston, Cronk, Slater's out. Inglis is still there. Who else have they lost? They've lost like half their team.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, right? There's been a fair bit of attrition.
So what I liked about it was like... They served him a ball, and he just hit it right fucking back at him.
Hmm.
He said, no, we're heaps sweeter than you guys.
Can I just say, you started off by telling us about Freddie being near some llamas, and
yes.
I don't know if this is intentional, but you haven't explained why
it
he
wasn't
was standing
explained.
In front of llamas.
No,
I
it's
mean,
beautiful.
Please you say you're going to put a ribbon on this story and explain
what
why
they couldn't afford
llamas. I tried to do that,
that's,
right?
That's
I can try to
right
do
there.
That.
It's very strange.
I think
right?
Everyone but that, kind of understands this at this point with Freddie. I mean, you know, he's taken them to yoga, to meditation.
That's right.
He's got them all on a vegan diet. I don't think the llamas are going to confuse the Queenslanders at this point.
Well, can I tell you what solidified it for me was in the closing where they asked him in the panel, what have you got over there? You got llamas. What else have you got over there? There's something else. He goes, I got some fucking pigs over here. Whatever. And they go, what are you going to do with that? That's a roast.
How does that square with his veganism? Like,
I mean, he is a vegan now, Brad Fittler. Do we feel... I mean, it's great to be relaxed about these kind of things because we know Laurie Daly was the opposite of that. He was probably a bit too intense. But is there a chance that Freddie's too chilled?
No.
So far, no. I think it's working.
Is it possible? He kind of looks like he's punched a few cones, though, doesn't he? When he's
been
interviewed.
If it wins you games, I'm all for it. I think we should actually put that in his contract. If your win ratio is better when you're stoned, I expect you, as part of your job description, to be high when you fucking walk in here. And if you're not, I'm going to have some shit to set you up now, and you're going to pay for it on top.
That's an interesting... Right?
Because that's your fucking job. Don't walk in here without your hat on, for example. Or don't walk in here without a tie and a suit. Depends on how you're working, right? But if being high improves your game, I'm going to write that in. Actually, and as a coach, I don't think coaches have a drug testing policy.
It's a good strategy in a lot of ways, because if he starts to fail, they can just simply point to that clause, and because he'll be a stoner, he'll probably forget to smoke.
He'll forget to show up. And he won't be there.
Yeah.
He'd be smart. Like, we had a game today? What the fuck?
Should that kind of attitude be something that prevails over the entire squad? Should they all definitely be
not
high?
No way. That might be helpful for playing.
But what if, as you said, if them being high improves their performance?
Well, I've always advocated for a drug league where you could actually take whatever drugs you felt would help you to play better and just take them. And that'd be part of your... player
recreational drugs
thing. You've done the research. I reckon if I mix this with that, I'll fucking might kill you, but at least you fucking score a really fast try or something, whatever. Yeah. But I think it could only be good for the game.
Isn't there a danger here, guys, that you know they could be the Blues playing quite well high and then they're defending their red zone and suddenly James Roberts is ordering a hot dog and Deliveroo?
Well, you know, maybe we could build something into the water bottles, like do a soup. Or something, just like something, get some energy.
What, to offset their drug use?
Like a steak in a soup.
I feel like we maybe have become a bit untethered, but I tend to think that Brad Fittler can be a little bit too relaxed at times, because as we said, Laurie Daly made people a bit sad and scared, whereas I think Brad Fittler has obviously relaxed his team. But are we lacking mongrel?
Actually, if there is one thing I thought that we were lacking, and it was a bit of mongrel. I mentioned it before, but they did bash us up front a fair bit.
Yeah, we got bashed in that game.
And we also really struggled to get out of our own half when they pinned us in. Like our tactical kicks were pretty ordinary. And it took us, I think, until the last 20 for our guys to really number up and start putting big hits back. Like Campbell Gillard put on a few big hits.
He
later.
Did,
that's
didn't
a
he?
Huge
but later,
hit
later
he
in the game,
on.
He
yeah.
did, didn't he?
Yeah, but it took him a while to get into it.
Do you think that had something to do with the Blues trying to overcome years and years of hoodoo in a game?
No, I think it was that mustache of Campbell Gillard.
It was basically just boils down to the mustache. Yeah.
Do you think that mustache does make him tougher?
Yeah, I think it has to, doesn't it?
He looks like he's in a 1920s razor gang, doesn't he?
A little bit, but with sort of lashings of hips.
I saw him in a cafe the other day, I can tell you. And I'm not going to say the name of the cafe or anything like that, but they walked into a cafe with Cordner, Mitchell, Adokar. Okay, there were a couple of guys there. Anyway, that mustache is personally terrifying. Because it's far too pretty to be on someone that's like that dangerous.
It's very out of place, isn't it? It's unsettling.
It's not quite
right. It's well too.
You expect that on someone
who's
effeminate, maybe, you know, as a bit of a spruking thing.
Right.
You know?
So just to clarify, you're saying that you'd be less scared if it was a bit mangier?
Yeah, if it was a bit mangier, I might be able to get out of the way.
What would you like to see
but it was too
in the Campbell Gillard mustache? Like, would you like to see sort of little bits of old bits of Campbell soup or. What would you like in there? Bits of corn, maybe?
I'd really like to see him shave in the top lip. Do something new, right? Yep. I want a high degree of shaving in the top lip that says, I hate Queensland.
Or maybe if you wanted to be really controversial, he could just shave on either side of his nose.
And make it a Hitler moustache.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So just become
increase airflow.
Very anti-Semitic. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it would just show that he was really intolerant of everything.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Hitler wasn't intolerant of fascism. So I don't know if you can universally
say that. I don't know if that's true. He would have used that if it would have helped.
Anything to hold on to power. I've always said that about Adolf.
He was very resourceful.
No, the fact is, I've never said that.
So this is a first. Should we put you down?
I'm just
Eamon Brown.
I think we should move on from Hitler.
Would he have been a Queenslander? Yeah, would absolutely. Hitler have been a Queenslander or a Blue? Because if Hitler was a New South Wales fan, you're really struggling.
Oh, I can tell you right now, Adolf Hitler would have come to prominence in Queensland because he would have been able to bind the intolerance.
He was a soccer fan.
Was he really? Yeah, explains a lot, doesn't it, to be honest?
Oh, really?
Well, soccer shit, rugby league's better.
Okay, that makes sense now.
But up next, Chip Zander and I put our collective heads together to give our listeners a sneak peek of how we think Origin 2 will go. It promises to be wildly inaccurate and contains liberal doses of overrated germ bag. And Maloney kicks the conversion to put Freddie's Baby Blues ahead by 26-6 early in the second half. Surely not even a brief stint from Josh Dugan can stop the Blues now, boys.
Well, speak of the devil, Eamon, it looks like Josh Dugan is approaching the touchline in the number 73 jersey.
You're right, Chip, and Dugan certainly looks quite agitated down there. He appears to be arguing with Freddie about something. Perhaps he can't find his Bacardi Breezer, Chip.
Well, Dugan has planted one on the chin of Freddie there, and it was a nice one. And, yep, he's ready to run onto the field.
This is highly irregular stuff. We're going to go down to our sideline commentator, Xander Rizzotto. Xander, what on earth's going on down there, mate?
Well, Eamon, quite extraordinary scenes down here as an irate Josh Dugan bullies his way onto the field despite not being picked in the team. Brad Pittler is on the ground and unable to get up. We can only suspect because he is now a vegan and doesn't have the requisite body mass to sustain such violence.
Well, play continuing now with Dugan snatching the ball from a shocked James Maloney, and he's now running quite slowly sideways.
Yes, and he's been belted by the Maroons' defence, and the ball comes loose. Munster picks up the loose pill and he runs 30 metres to score under the sticks. Well, the Maroons might not be out of this one yet, Eamon.
Well, you're quite right, Chip. With Josh Dugan wearing the sky blue, the Queenslanders are never out of it. We're just going to cross back down to Xander. Mate, are the Blues officials going to do something to get Josh off the field before the team concedes 30 points?
They're trying to, Eamon, but it's very difficult to remove Dugan when he's lying unconscious of the turf as he is right now.
You're right, Xander. Dugan has not moved since being hit by Greg Inglis.
Well, it looks like both teams and the refs are happy for the game to continue with Dugan lying lifeless on the ground, but interestingly, not even the medicos on the sideline are willing to help.
Well, a quick game is a good game, Chip, and I think from the Blues' point of view, a lifeless Dugan laying on the 30-metre line will ironically probably serve the defensive line even better than a fit Dugan.
Ben Hunt probing now, 10 metres short of the halfway. Yes, and he's weaved his way past Nathan Cleary and goes straight through.
Whoa.
He's over the 30-metre line. Oh, wait, Hunt has tripped over the carcass of Josh Dugan. And yes, he loses the ball.
Wonderful defence there from Josh Dugan. He held his nerve and allowed Ben Hunt to trip over his ribs, and he came up with an absolute try-saver.
You know, I haven't seen Josh Dugan put his body on the line like that in years, frankly.
Xander, any word yet on Brad Fittler?
He's still out cold from the Dugan coward punch, Eamon, but his gurgling noises indicate he's very happy with the way Dugan is defending out there.
Yeah, well, Dugan is really convulsing now on the ground, boys. There's a distinct foam coming from his mouth.
Well, that'd be Josh just overjoyed at the way he's playing, I reckon, Chip. Foaming at the mouth to play more State of Origin, I reckon. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, social media, gents, I wouldn't say it's roasting hot, but the seven people we have following us have been quite vocal
in
the last week.
Mm-hmm.
So we've put out a few Twitter polls as a result. And we've got a little bit abstract because our poll has sort of ventured a little bit off topic. But we asked our listeners, why has the standard of refereeing been so low this season? Now, the options were lack of gender diversity, unconscious bias, cultural appropriation, or virtue signaling.
Now, I'd like to jump in here and just say thank you.
To whom?
Firstly, to Mark Latham for coming on our humble podcast and sharing with us a couple of views that he had. And what was the result?
Well, interestingly, by the way, I'll put it to you guys before we say, who do you think would win that poll out of those four options? What do you think would be the most likely contributor to poor refereeing? Let's start with you, Xander.
I think a lack of gender diversity.
Okay. And would you like to drill a bit deeper on that?
No, not at this stage. That's what I think.
I just knew that was coming. What about you, Chip?
I care more about the listeners than either of you two. So, you know, what did they have to say? Tell me what.
Well, I can tell you we got 106 votes in a poll that lasted 24 hours.
And that's impressive.
We had 31% of the vote, which was the largest proportion.
That's more than 31 votes.
For virtue signalling. Now, how and why this relates to refereeing is probably quite mind-boggling, but it did beat out unconscious bias with 30%. It was narrow. 25% lack of gender diversity, and lagging behind was poor old cultural appropriation.
I think we're all avoiding the key point here, and that's what virtue is the refereeing zeitgeist attempting to signal to?
Very good question.
Well, I think they are very sanctimonious as a group, and potentially they are constantly virtue signalling that they're more superior to everyone else, Xander, frankly, which is why
You've nailed it.
When there's a bad decision, they all seem to unify and stand behind that really shit call.
Do you think that's what's hurt the Roosters over the last 10 years?
What, buying lots of players?
No, virtue signalling.
Probably,
do you
mate.
Think this virtue signalling of everyone saying that, oh, the Roosters have bought the best players, virtue signals, in inverted commas, a ref,
I don't know if that's
to be biased against them?
Now, look, we did have a few responses to the poll as well. And one comes from our very good friend, The Biggest Tiger, who has the Sports Best Friend podcast. He responded, the only thing less consistent is how you record your podcasts. Someone should go to the bin for that one.
Fucking excellent. Now, who was that?
That's The Biggest Tiger.
That's The Biggest Tiger. Now, listen here. The Biggest Tiger, I got to send a personal... this is Chip Jones to the Tiger, right? Respect, brother. Because these guys sometimes, particularly Eamon...
you know what you just did
he
there?
Needs a
yep,
good
that
punishing.
That was cultural appropriation.
No, no.
You're not an American.
Don't interrupt me. Tiger, I dig you, man. I appreciate that that comeback. And do me a favor, keep the shit rolling in. Because I got to keep this Eamon Brown motherfucker in check, all right? This is weeks now. His car's broken down. He's not well. He's upset. It's raining. It's disgraceful.
A broken down car is kind of a hard time in its own way.
Yeah, I'd say it's a metaphor for my life. You know, the wheels have come off. But we all had some other responses. One is strangely a gif of Alex Jones with an aluminium hat on. See, that comes from at Ernie Oz. Thank you, Gavin, at Ernie Oz. Now,
who's he support?
I don't know
Alex
him.
Jones.
No, apart from Alex Jones in the NRL,
he supports
is Alex Jones
the deep
NRL.
State.
Let's get him in. I actually think that's a great idea. We should get.
I
Alex
have a feeling
Jones
that
NRL.
Alex Jones would be a South supporter.
Just yeah, kind of yeah, he'd feeling, fit in yeah. with Russell.
Now the rest of the responses to our poll,
I don't know.
Unfortunately, degenerated into some kind of. I don't know, political abyss.
Let's come back to football.
A lot of misogyny. So we probably won't read a lot of it.
So and it was on Twitter, was it?
It
no,
was.
Come on. Read some of these out. Don't be closed-minded. Tell me something else. What else have we got?
Okay, from at Charlie Brown AU. Most women couldn't handle real actual equality, misspelt in caps.
Excellent.
We also had another response to the poll from at Wally the Iggy on Twitter.
Nice name.
His response was, none of the above. Just a result of pussies out there that can't handle a little bit of violence in a full contact sport. We want to see some carnage and we want to see some biffs.
Excellent.
If you can't handle that, then you can take your delicate sensibilities elsewhere. Woof. Hashtag, and it's my favourite
part. I
like
the woof.
Bring back the biff.
Yes, come on now.
What do we think of Wally Iggy? We'll start with you, Xander.
I think we've... had the biff brought back early this year, just not an origin.
We did, didn't we? That was also in on the field for Dylan Walker and off the field
it
with
was.
His sister.
Not yeah. if we want the off-field incidents to be mirrored on-field.
Like we had some more polls running this week, gents. We also put out there to our listeners, what will be the talking point out of Origin 1? Our options were, would Freddie pull on the number 6 jersey? Would Teddy pass a football? Would Munster glass Ben Hunt? Or would Billy Slater resist diving on the ground? Now, we should say... we put this out before Billy Slater pulled out injured. The winner of this poll was Freddie pulling on the number 6 jersey.
Surprised that Billy pulled out because he was going to play until we put that out.
You think we're that influential, do you?
I'm just pointing it out. You know, like he was,
well,
he was playing
we
and actually, we put out a poll and there he is pulling out injured. Hamstring. Which leg, Billy?
Arguably, you know, the Slater option was the correct one. You know, he did resist diving.
But that's actually, you're right, actually. Yeah. In hindsight, I didn't really think about it
yeah,
like
he's
that.
He's got you there.
Do we have a talking point, guys, out of Origin 2? What should be our next poll?
Oh, look, I reckon let's all choose an option. We could have ABC and all maybe, right. Should we offer a winning loyal listener a D or an E or something? How should we do this?
We should never offer anyone an E. Now, guys, apart from polling, we also put it out to our listeners to ask us some questions. We said anything that we wanted answered on the podcast that we would very kindly attempt to answer on their behalf. And again, the Biggest Tiger is obliged saying, I'm glad you asked, Chip, even though
thank you wasn't. Very much. I'll just jump right in there. Thank you, Eamon. No, I appreciate that. I knew we'd get along.
He said, I'm glad you asked, Chip, and I've been pondering this one since team selection. And he's pasted what it looks to be some kind of mathematical equation.
You better show me that. Yeah.
Which I'll show all you guys, if we can get into a vantage point there. And very neatly, the Biggest Tiger has, I think, subbed out some genuine variables for things like footy
Ooh,
and
looks
intercept.
Like some trigonometry going on here.
That's right. So it's a very highbrow response. Ooh. And he's directed it towards you, Chip. Ooh. So in
interesting
response,
that, isn't it? So run that by me again.
Do you want the Y and X axes?
No, well? I want you to tell me the points.
I'm going to forward it to you.
Okay, you forward that to me.
And
I'll make
can
sense
respond.
Of it. Yeah, that's fine.
So also we had a response here from Corey Farrell at Fulio Iglesias. His question was, is Ben Hunt now a Deliveroo rider? And would Benedict Cumberbatch come to his aid if attacked by Cameron Munster?
How do we feel about Benedict? I mean, Xander's mentioned to me before the show that he had some feelings about Benedict Cumberbatch and maybe...
No, feelings for. This is obviously a reference to him rescuing that young man from a mugger.
I think you're right, Xander. Yeah. Yes.
So... I think
do we all hear about that? Maybe our listeners might not be familiar.
Well, fill me in. I'm usually drunk or high, so you might as well just...
So apparently in London a couple of weeks ago, there was some young man returning home and he was being chased by muggers and Benedict stepped in to save the day.
Excellent.
Jumped out of a cab, I believe.
Yeah.
He jumped out of a cab to fuck someone up and help someone out. Look, I'd like to send a shout out to Benedict Cumberbatch for that.
How many shout-outs do we have?
We're shouting everyone.
Well, look.
Do you think Cumberbatch would ever come on the show? Would he have a reason, given the fact that he's an actor?
Well, now that we've said we appreciate what he did, he might.
I suspect he doesn't know what the NRL is.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's never fucking heard of us.
I'd like to say the NRL actually supports Benedict Cumberbatch for that particular action.
I read about this morning. He jumped out. He saw two people attacking a guy. Benedict Cumberbatch jumped out, chased the guys off, and then he raped the guy that he saved.
Is that a fact? Well, that's kind of like he was already struggling between the fence. Mm. Have you seen that cow? There's like a cow with a head stuck between a fence, and this other cow's mounting her because she can't get away.
I worry about your internet habits.
I do want to suggest a poll, though. I mean, are there any players in the NRL that have names as British sounding as Benedict Cumberbatch?
You could put that out everywhere.
Like, we have a lot of British players in the NRL, but I don't think anyone has a name that encompasses Britishness.
That's
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Because you know what's interesting is you've actually transcended rugby league, but what you've actually done is reinforced the ties between Australian rugby league and English rugby league.
I don't think there's a member of the England rugby league team that has a name as British as Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, because it's a very working class sport over there, isn't it?
But to be fair, I watch Union as well. I don't think there's a Union player with a name that British.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's true.
We actually asked Phil Gould on Twitter, "Hey Gus, if you could change one rule in 2018, what would it be?" Now, he didn't really give a fully fleshed out response.
Did he respond at all?
He just said one referee.
Wow.
Gus is great on Twitter.
Mm. He's come back to you on Twitter. Well, you've got to send a big shout out to Gus for that.
Do you think at this point we might be suffering shout out inflation? Like, are they losing their value?
That's a good point. Yep.
I think you're right, mate. What have we had now? 12 shout outs?
Yep.
And I think, can I just say, I think, Chip, you've really hogged the shout outs because we didn't. I think we've hit our critical mass.
Okay. Well, how about this? I'll offer no more shout outs, but you guys have to offer the rest of the shout outs.
People responding to that conversation as well. We had at Coolin10Sions, who said he wanted four suggestions. He said, one ref, great idea. Allow the shoulder charge back. Video ref to rule on forward passes. And punching without ruling case by case. So in other words, the biff, as long as it's justified, you can punch someone's lights out.
If somebody's specifically asked to be punched like Dylan
Walker would be a great
that's
example.
That's fine because he was doing him a favour.
Now, interestingly here, guys, as well, we had at St. Benny 63 responded to Gus saying, Gus, that's not a rule. But still, I think one referee, guys, very quickly, do we agree or disagree with Phil Gould's assertion that the game would be better with one versus two refs?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm kind of curious, though, if you guys were to change one rule, what would it be?
Ooh, I would say I'd love to see a rule implemented where South Sydney couldn't participate.
We tried that.
Yeah, we did. It worked for a while, didn't it? Now, Chip, in reference to that, do you think that Gus has any point there? Would you like to see one referee or two?
No, I like one referee.
Okay.
I must be honest. I want someone with some big bad balls to make a call, stick by it.
Do they have to have giant testicles? They can have normal-sized testicles.
Metaphorically, yes, they do. I mean, to be a referee, I mean... I've actually thought about it. What would it take to be a referee?
I'd say a whistle.
That's a hard job.
You have
it's
to
good
be an
start.
Arsehole.
Well, see, that's the next thing. I'm not sure that's true to be an asshole. I think you can be a referee and be a good bloke.
Can you?
And there are some that I've said, yes, they're a good bloke. And they've made... Bill Harrigan's a really good example.
He's not a good bloke.
Because I never liked a lot of his calls, but I thought when he made a wrong call, it was just because he was a dumb cunt. It wasn't because he was biased. He's just stupid.
Oh, yeah. I never thought he was a cheat.
No, exactly just, right.
But he was certainly had that rough around the edge kind
exactly.
of what I say
goes. So I think
goes.
That's what you've got to go for. You've got to go for something that's consistent. It's, you know, if you do this, it's not you're not going to like it.
Mm.
Like, if you happen to be at that angle and this happens, like, be aware of it. You've got to be smarter.
Why doesn't two refs work, though, guys? Because when they brought it in, I remember thinking, oh, this might clean up the ruck. There's one police
no
in
way.
The ruck.
Actually, no way.
I actually have a view on it. I think, funnily enough, like apart from the fact that you do have two eyes effectively disagreeing with each other at times, in a weird sort of way, it makes the refereeing too forensic.
Mm.
Like they almost pick up too much, and there's a whole lot of little things in the game that become pedantic. You could pick up if you went over every single match and forensically tore
right.
them apart. You would stop every play.
That's right.
And yep. I think it's largely that. I think it's just adding like
doubt.
An unnecessary large amount of scrutiny
mm.
on
I
every single
play. I think that's a pretty
play.
Good point. Yeah, yeah, I think that's a very good point because I think, you know, you're never going to get the game to be 100% mm. perfect, are you? Mm. And I don't think even the fans have that expectation. I think the fans just don't want to see clangers.
Mm.
And I think, you know, those 50-50s, they're prepared to wear those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you
I
have to be.
Even as a Roosters fan, when you, like if they're consistent, it's the same reason that if there's a rule change that I've wanted, it's the captain's challenge.
Oh, it's a great call. Yeah.
Like I think that would just make the game a lot better because it's the uncertainty, the inconsistency when applying that incredibly strict forensic approach.
Yes.
It's not applied through the whole game anyway.
I think that's a great one. In fact, that'll be a question, I think, for our Twitter listeners or our Twitter followers, I should say. Should the NRL implement a captain's call? I know that I'm behind it. Xander's behind it. Chip, would you support
100%.
That? Yep. I think it's great because what we would see is players prepared, more prepared to wear bad calls. And if they think it's a clanger, they'll put their dick on the line and say, well, we'll challenge that.
And
can
if
we
they
put
don't,
out a proposal here? Sorry to interrupt, Xander, but can we put up a proposal? Do our listeners think that's what we should do? Like, because I think we should have the players nominate themselves, right, for the level of suspension, but be held to account.
It's not quite.
Not
what
kidding.
We meant.
Not kidding. Wait for it.
Well, imagine that. You go. I've killed someone. I'll take 2 weeks.
Yeah. See, it's hard because you take it to a whole different level. What I'm talking about is respect and character. If you have enough respect and character in the game to hold everyone else to a level of respect and character that says, I trust you enough that if you do the wrong thing, you will nominate yourself for a suspension. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Okay, so let me bear that out a little bit for you. Because I understand that you don't. Right?
I really am trying.
Okay, you've heard of magic.
Yes.
Right? Someone talks a spell, and this spell says that you will only do things that are of good character. That's your spell. No matter what you do, you can't, whatever it is, you do the right thing every single time. That's your level of character, right?
Big shout out.
So if you can do that at that level, and I say to you, you put a hit on that guy last week, and it was a bit rough, you missed. And you hurt him, and you say, yeah, I did. Well, that wasn't quite. I tried to do it, but I made a mistake, and I hurt him, and I wasn't supposed to do that. I'll nominate myself for 2 weeks.
Okay. So you'd like to see the honor system implemented?
Exactly right.
Okay. I don't think it'll work, to be honest, because you get arsehole NRL
fair
players.
Fair enough.
Sam Burgess still doesn't think he's wrong for trying to pull someone's finger out of its socket.
Can't say you're wrong, but that's just what I'd like.
No, okay.
I'd like that.
I've always said you're an ideas man, Chip. Xander, do you think there's any credence to that particular theory, or where would you like to see it implemented on a trial basis?
No.
Yeah, welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, about a week and a half ago, we had a fan of ours send in a single. Which is quite unusual in the digital age. Anyway, on that cassette tape contained a song. He's clearly a pretty hardcore New South Wales Blues fan, and he put together a bit of a tune about the last 10 years of New South Wales State of Origin football. This was Anthony Kytus's brother, Wayne Kytus.
So Sometimes we feel like we don't have a halfback. Sometimes we feel like a busted Jake friend. Our team's a bit shitty, we don't really run well. Our skipper's Paul Gallen, we never score tries. Our winger was Steve Turner, he was slower than Steve Bannon. We kept picking Greg Bird, no matter who the fuck he'd blast. We all knew what the Blues needed, and it wasn't Tim Manor. Our shitty performance, made worse by Robbie Farah. We don't ever wanna feel like the last decade, just pick some guys who are fast. Instead of a team who look riddled with AIDS, don't make me spike my own beers. Like I did in game 3 last year, just pick a team who is good and deport that Mitchell Pearce. It's hard to believe that we selected Josh Dugan. It's even harder to believe we kept picking him again and again. It's like we really hate ourselves, we love our death spiral. Starting to suspect that Laurie Daly's suicidal. We don't ever want to feel like we did that night. Pearce just dogged us again. His cowardice is out of sight. Think he just shit his shorts. You know that can't be good. Would have preferred the number 7 was Lindsay Davenport.
How do we see Origin 2 going in Sydney, guys? Obviously, home ground advantage. We're riding high. I can't remember a time we've won game 1 and lost the series. Don't think that's ever happened before, has it? That's right. Apart from last year, obviously. Do we think that we can wrap up the series in Sydney?
I think we can. I think, actually, if there's a side that's more likely to do it, it's this year's side than last year's, just because we have picked a team that's, you know, it's balls to the wall, isn't it? We picked guys with pace, confidence, and without that sort of tarnished experience of the last 10 years, really.
Can I just say I'm a big fan of the phrase balls to the wall.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It's a dangerous team, and I don't think they are suffering the scars of yesteryear. Chip, do you think this is a team that's free of the mental scarring of the last 10 years?
You know, tying it all together, if you put your balls on the block and someone's holding a cleaver,
it's balls to
you
the
better
wall.
Be paying attention.
Okay, yeah, you've moved into the Spanish Inquisition, I think.
Yeah. Are you ready to hit it up?
Well, do you reckon the Blues will win game 2?
I think they're ready. I think Freddie's almost got them at a level. Freddie's going
to
make a fool of himself if he comes in and loses and coach a team and stand next to fucking llamas in a paddock.
Do you think that the llamas in the paddock is the deciding element?
Yes.
Mean, if Laurie had llamas in a paddock, would we have won?
Yes. Yes.
I'd go out and say, I'd put my balls on the line and say Laurie needed more farmyard animals.
What animals?
Oh, just your gamut. Everything from your Orwell's Animal Farm, your pigs, your horses.
Pigs.
And
pigs,
I guess Fafita could have had his way with all of them. Would have made him a lot angrier.
What would it have done for the cattle?
Fafita in a Black Mirror sort of scenario? Is
a little
what you're
bit, yeah.
Referencing?
I would have just some solid bestiality into the lead up.
For Fafita, I think.
Does that improve the meat?
Calls that Sunday.
From an edible point of view, mate, I'm not sure.
Because you're really eating your own.
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of the show. So we hope we've left listeners with some kind of post-mortem about State of Origin. But until next week, just do what Mal Meninga would do and be disingenuously lauded as a coaching genius for training a generation of freaks. Go the Blues.
Eluatu at the moment, that's the rerun of Margaret River.
Yeah. How would you feel about wearing a hat?
Hey?
I've got three of the same colour.
What is going on
wasn't
here?
It wasn't in need of a hat. But yeah. Yeah, I don't need a car radio, do you, mate?
Yeah, I'm checking.